Good morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a look at the commodity markets. Let's go right on out and look at the composite numbers in Kansas City. March wheat, 867.5, up 7. July, 881.75, up 5. March wheat in Chicago, 812.75, now 13, up 1, now 3/4, up 1.5. May, 824, up 1. July, 830, up 1. March corn, 715.75, now 16 down 4. May, 719.75, down 4. July, 717.75, down 4. December, 621.75, down 1.5. January soybeans, 1459.5, down 6.5. Go out to July at 1427.25, down 5.25. November 13, 1312.5, up 2.5. January soybean meal, 442.40, down 2.50. January soybean oil, 49.12, down a nickel. December live cattle, 128.70, up 47.5. January feeder cattle, 152.92.5, up 72.5. February lean hogs are 86.05, and they are up 77.5. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Let's begin on the livestock side because it's one of the bright spots on the screen if you happen to be bullish. Is this a reflection of what we're seeing for estimates on the cattle on feeder report coming out Friday?
Well, I think that's a little part of it. I think the bigger part of it is if you look at the radar and you look at the snowstorm that's coming out, coming across, I think that, you know, that is a part of it too. The reality is we're tight on stocks. There's just no question about that. And with the feed situation and the current drought that's going on out there, the market is anticipating that it's going to do that. I think another thing that might be boosting it a little is housing starts. You know, well, housing starts were down today, but they're up 22% for the year so far. And, you know, that's kind of exciting in itself. We are somewhat off the highs just a little bit, and I think that's related to, before the market opened this morning, we thought there might be a deal coming in place on the fiscal cliff, and now we see that it may be vetoed. So I don't think they know where they're going, but it is definitely a bright spot. There's no question about it.
And Friday, the last day, is that right? We're getting close to the end of the congressional session. Oh, I guess they're going to call them back after Christmas.
Well, that's what they're talking about. I don't know what they're going to do. I can't imagine that that anybody who voted for any of those guys could be very happy if they don't get something or at least make some kind of decision one way or the other. So let's hope they get it taken care of. I think generally, I don't think I'm that different from a lot of other people. I'm not sure if it's a bad thing if we go off the cliff or if it isn't. You know, you really don't know what's being bartered, I guess, is what it comes down to.
It depends on the elasticity of the cliff.
Yes, and how many ledges there are that you can bounce off of as you're going down, you know. And I think that in general, that's probably the biggest question. Do we go for a deal just to for the sake of having a deal, or is it going to be something that's really going to help the American people? And, you know, Dave, that's something that's actually holding a lot of investors back at this point in time. You know, they don't know what they want to do because they feel uncomfortable. And anytime investors are uncomfortable, and you can tell it when you look at there's an index, a volatility index, that basically rates their comfort level. And it's been dropping in the last few days and kind of stabilized now. But, it's hard to believe that there's too many people that are real anxious to hang money out there before we know actually what's going to happen.
Turn our attention to the corn pit. It's been said that triple tops are made to be broken, triple bottoms too. What about a bottom that's hit 8 times now?
Well, you know, it's I guess you'd have to say that's a pretty strong bottom, you know, when you've been hitting it and you haven't been able to go through it and you've just been hitting it. But, the corn market is looking weak And it's been looking weak already. I mean, it's only Wednesday, and we're already down, 14 or 15 cents for the entire week. We just don't have exports. I think it's going to take until we get to the January 11th report, or maybe when we hear what Informa has to say this morning. You know, if Informa comes in with more new crop acres, it won't have as much of an impact on old crop. But we get to that January 11th report, we're actually going to find out what the grain stocks are going to be. And I think that is going to be a tough report because, you know, in this first quarter, we have such a huge variation. The last 2 years, we've had 265 million bushel variation, and over the last 5 years, 565 million. We really don't have a good handle on feed residual, and that's going to be the key, because if we lower the size of the crop and the feed residual comes in where we think it should, then ultimately it is going to really show how tight the stocks are on this corn crop. And I think that's why we're seeing such aggressive basis levels out here, even though the Mississippi River is throwing a pretty big kink into everything.
So you mentioned Informa coming out in probably just a few minutes. Usually it's around 10. What if they say bigger acres, bigger corn crop, and December 13 has already lost 25 cents value in the last few days?
No, that's right. And I would expect that if they come out, you know, they were at 97.7 on corn last time. If they come out, you know, in that 98.5 or somewhere, which wouldn't surprise me at all, we'll probably go down and test the $6 level on December 13 corn. And yet at the same time, I think, you know, the whole focus at this point in time isn't so much on the commodities itself. It's more on the fiscal cliff, and I think that traders will probably continue to do that till we get into the first of the year. And maybe after we get through this fiscal cliff, we'll actually start to trade the real commodities, and we'll start to see the reflection of what's actually going on out there. I talked to someone in Southern Illinois this morning, and the bean market down there is quite resilient. I mean, they normally are an under basis. They're running about 40 cents over on basis on beans at this point in time, and, you know, that's pretty true across the U.S. A lot of aggressive buying going on tells me that there's still plenty of stuff. And, you know, we've got corn coming in, Dave. I was going to tell you last week when we got cut off. Talked to a guy in North Dakota, a radio person out there, and the corn from North Dakota right now is coming down here to Illinois and Indiana because they had such a good crop and such heavy corn that's where they are primarily shipping. So it does still tell you that there's a lot of demand for corn, even though we keep hearing how bad everything is. I think that when we come down to reality, we'll find out that we need it, and when we get into that January 11th report, that's gonna set the tone and the direction for the old crop corn price.
Meanwhile, over in the soybean pit, we had hard-fought gains in the month of November that pushed this market up all the way to $15 and a penny and a quarter. And in just two sessions, we've wiped out a third of that.
Yep. Yeah, we certainly have. Well, that just goes to show you what kind of an impact China has on our marketplace. You know, China came in and canceled some grains, unknown canceled, which most of us agree that is China also. And then unknown came right back in and bought 120,000 metric tons. You know, I believe that, you know, China wants to flex its muscles, and it does, and this is an opportune time because there isn't any real solid reason to drive it higher on the bean market unless it's continued export sales. So what's a better way if you bought beans at a higher level? You cancel them, and then you turn right around and you refill it. You know, it's so.
All right. Well, on that cheerful note, Jackie, we'll let you go.
Oh, gee, thanks, Dave. You
Jackie
have
Vakes
Merry Christmas.
Of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.